ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, as Israel's war in Gaza continues into its eighth month, one of the world's top aid officials says northern Gaza is now in a state of full-blown famine. The assessment was made by director of the World Food Programme, Cindy McCain, and appears to confirm earlier predictions that the territory was sliding into famine as a result of the conflict. The escalating warnings of starvation come as ceasefire talks in Cairo continue without an apparent breakthrough. Jeremy Conendike is president of Refugees International and a former USAID official in the Biden and Obama administrations. Jeremy, welcome back to RN Breakfast.
Thank you.
What do we know about the situation in northern Gaza at the moment?
Well, what we're seeing now and what Cindy McCain made reference to this weekend is the culmination of something that's been in development dating really to the beginning of the war, and certainly back at least as far as December, when global aid systems began predicting the risk of famine. So, you know, you'll remember back in the early days of the war, the Israeli government and the leaders of the Israeli military talked about shutting down most services, most aid access and public services into Gaza. There were comments about a complete siege and things like that. Their rhetoric moderated a bit as the months went on, but the besiegement tactics remained pretty widespread. And you know, when you have a population of 2 million people that is entirely dependent on outside support for food, for water, for power, and they're getting pummeled by airstrikes that have destroyed the vast majority of infrastructure over the course of, as you say, nearly 8 months, it's pretty, I mean, I frankly, it'd be shocking if there weren't this level of desperation and humanitarian catastrophe emerging. So I think that what we see from Cindy McCain is a pretty natural and frankly expected and long predicted outcome of the way that this war has been fought.
It is important to remember, though, that there hasn't been a formal designation of famine. What needs to happen? What stage do conditions need to reach for that kind of declaration?
Well, so a formal declaration of famine tends to be a lagging indicator because what that does is going to look back retroactively at what the data has said. There is a very high data threshold for actually doing a formal declaration. I think what we see from Cindy McCain and incidentally also from Samantha Power, the head of USAID, in congressional testimony a couple of weeks ago, is a reflection that while the data collection may still be ongoing, the conditions they're seeing are consistent with and indicative of a famine. I think in a case like Gaza, where humanitarians still don't have good access to much of the territory, it's hard to collect the data to a level to meet that standard. But you can, in that case where your access is constricted, where you're being inhibited from doing the kind of deep survey data that would normally underpin a famine declaration, you then look at proxies. So, you can look at kind of household, you can do sampling of households, you can do more limited sampling of malnutrition indicators, and then you look at other indicators like are children dying of malnutrition and starvation in hospitals and health facilities. By all of those standards, what we're seeing is very consistent with what you'd expect in famine conditions.
What's that translating to on the ground? What does that mean for people in northern Gaza, and how are they trying to survive? What's going on?
Well, it has been incredibly difficult to survive. There has been a little more aid getting in the last few weeks. The Israeli government has allowed more in since their strike on the World Central Kitchen convoy. And just this past week, they resumed the supply of water to northern Gaza after having shut it off for 200 days. But I think that gives you an indication of how desperate things must be if this is an area that has been without water supply for 200 days. you imagine what that would do, you know, do to anyone here in the US or there in Australia, going 200 days without fresh, clean water, similar levels of blockage and deprivation for food. You know, there have been reports of people eating animal feed, eating, you know, making soup out of grass. And those, again, those are very classic indicators that we see in other contexts of famine conditions, when people are resorting to things that they would never normally consume in order to keep their, you know, their bellies at least somewhat full.
Most of the population has been displaced to the south. What do we know about how many people are left in the north, Jeremy?
So the best estimate is that there are about 300,000 people there. Now, that's far less than were there before the war, but it's still a considerable number of people. There has not been a great, you know, population survey done because, again, the access simply is not there. The Israeli military still very tightly restricts humanitarian access into northern Gaza.
Israel has said that it's been flooding Gaza with aid and that there's been an almost 30% increase in relief trucks entering since last month. Is that the case?
There has been more getting in since the World Central Kitchen strike. You know, 30%, but I don't know that that's an accurate figure, but there has been somewhat more getting in. Even if you take that 30% figure at face value, you know, the amount that had been getting in was wildly insufficient. So this is, you know, that would be 30% more than wildly insufficient, which is still nowhere near the level that's needed. But it has gotten a bit better. I think the Israelis have shown somewhat more flexibility with humanitarians in the aftermath of their strike on the World Central Kitchen convoy. But even so, Jose Andres, the head of World Central Kitchen, wrote in the Washington Post this week that they were still facing real challenges, that, you know, there have been continued communications failures inside the IDF with respect to protecting humanitarian convoys. So it is nowhere near where it needs to be. And I think one thing that is really critical here is it's not just a matter of how many aid trucks can cross the line into Gaza, but how much access do humanitarian operators have inside Gaza? And that's really the critical point. You can't fight famine off the back of a truck. A famine operation has to be a comprehensive, multi-sector operation supplies food, but also provides comprehensive malnutrition treatment, that provides comprehensive health treatment, because often a lot of the mortality in a famine comes from disease after people's immune systems are so weakened by their starvation. And water is super important because, of course, you need water for basic sustenance, you need water to prepare food, you need water for basic sanitation to prevent disease spread. So all of those things in unison are really, really critical and fundamental to how we would fight famine in any context anywhere else. And so that really is those are the indicators that matter. How many malnutrition centers are open? How many health facilities are functioning? How much water is getting in? Still only about 20% of Gaza's pre-conflict level. You know, so it's still nowhere close to where it needs to be to reverse the continued downward trend.
Jeremy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
It's Jeremy Conandyke there, President of Refugees International and former USAID official in the Biden and Obama administrations.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.